Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They sure look funny. So why do you have them? Ears. Why are they intricately designed inside with tympanic membranes and stirrups, anvils, hammers, cochlea, Eustachian tubes? Why do sound waves vibrate air particles to transmit sound over long distances at quick speeds? And then why externally are they shaped the way that they are? Those funny, somewhat conical shaped pieces of flesh that adorn the sides of your heads. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You have ears, first and foremost, to hear the word of God. There's a way of thinking about Sunday morning worship that discounts the fact that you have ears and that God has given you ears for a reason. This way of believing thinks that the most valuable roles to fill on a Sunday morning are those of the folks who get to sit up in the chancel, who read from the lectern or distribute from the altar, who sing at the microphone or conduct the service, who lead the worshipers or whatever. Nonsense. Those funny-shaped pieces of flesh, those contraptions holding up the arms of your glasses on your head, testify that there is a more important role that God wants to be filled every Sunday morning. That of hearer. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The notion that if you're not in the chancel or not at the front, you're not participating in worship is dead wrong. God sends you pastors for the same reason that he attaches those funny shaped pieces of cartilage to the outside of your head, that you might hear the word of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Preachers are not the end, not the goal. They are only a means so that you may hear the word of God. The Augsburg Confession declares, so that we might have this faith, that is, the faith that justifies, the faith that saves, that we might obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through means, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith where and when it pleases God in those who hear the good news that God justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. The church is a mouth house, a preaching station, a place God created so that your ears might be filled with the word of God, through which the Holy Spirit works to create faith in your heart. So we cover over our pastors with liturgical camouflage, making them indistinguishable from altar and pulpit and lectern, covering everything except their mouths and their hands, as if to say, we don't care about you, preacher, what you wear or how you look. Just give us the gifts from our Lord. Pastors exist so that you can be a hearer of the word. To be a hearer is a holy estate, a desired, desirable, valuable vocation, one that God wants all people to have. Moments ago, you reaffirmed God's call to me to be your preacher in song, exhorting me, grabbing me by the vestment, saying, "Preach you the word." And plant it home to men who like or like it not. The word that shall endure and stand when flowers and men shall be forgot. Preach you the word and plant it home and never faint. The harvest Lord who gave the sower seed to sow will watch and tend his planted word. We don't care, preacher, whether you want to or not. We know the cost is high, but the consequence of withholding the word is far greater. We have ears. Let us hear the word. The sower sows. His reckless love scatters abroad the goodly seed, intent alone that all may have the wholesome loaves that all men need. Though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked or matted flat, the sower sows. His heart cries out, oh, what of that and what of that? Of all his scattered plenteousness, one fourth waves ripe on hill and flat and bears a harvest hundredfold. Ah, what of that, Lord? What of that? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The seed is the word of God. And the word is the seed of the woman, the flesh of the virgin. The word become flesh. The word does not return empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which he is sent. He takes the sins of the world, pulls the weeds and the thorns, and let them be woven into the crown that will pierce his head. He works and waters the soil with his own sweat and blood, pouring from his pierced body. The infertile ground receives his crucified and lifeless body, and like a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies, and in the spring produces a healthy plant, he sprouted alive from the tomb. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the dead soil of mankind has new hope. You who only had hope to return to the dirt now have hope beyond the grave. This is incomprehensible and yet delightful. Even though your ears are not naturally receptive to the word of God, even though your heart is not naturally fertile soil, the seed of the word has been scattered. And by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, you are here. God has gathered you, even you, called you from out of a nation of people deaf to the word, a people of hard hearts who drive by and sleep in, who are deaf to the word of God and dead in their sins, and brought you from death into life. In the waters of baptism, your lifeless ears have been revitalized, resurrected, raised from the dead. You who were not a hearer have been made a hearer of the word and the life-giving word of God. This word is for you. It creates, it vivifies, it does what it says. It gives life, it creates, it resurrects from the dead, it changes sinners into saints. In the waters of baptism, the deaf hear. Rebels against the word of God are transformed into hearers of the word. Those who have no life become those who live in the word of God at his holy font. So that you might have this faith, God sends preachers. So that you might have life, he created an office, the preaching office. So that you might hear the words of Christ with those funny-shaped appendages on your head. God dispatches his absolution men. Pastors charged with speaking his word of forgiveness to those repentant. So that his word of forgiveness might enter from the outside in. To interrupt your thoughts and the work of the devil inside your thinking that would condemn you of sin. To give you something clear and certain outside of yourself that calms your sinful thoughts that only condemn you. The only ones forced to go to confession are pastors, sent under holy orders to give out the gift of God's forgiveness. Christians are not forced, but free to receive this gift, to let their ears be filled with the word of absolution, to drown out the cacophony of voices that try to condemn you, that try to make you guilty and ashamed and afraid of a holy God. Pastors go to absolve because God conscripts them so that you might hear, that you might be hearers of this holy, healing, comforting word of forgiveness. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those odd-shaped organs that frame your head turn out to be quite beautiful, as they are the organs into which God pours His precious, life-giving word. But the ears, the word, it turns out, is not exclusively for your ears. Eat the word. Receive the incarnate word, Jesus, as He creates the real presence of His own body and blood in His supper. As He gives these to you to feed you with forgiveness. Here, at His altar, as in His church, hearers of the word are made eaters of the word, drinkers of the word, people of the word, filled and fed with the word which gives life. Hear and eat. This is why you have ears and preachers, and lips, and tongues, and hands, and eyes, and noses, and feet, to receive the word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.